It's the Duffin Up Podcast.
What's going on, Duff Daddies and Duff Mamas? It is Thursday, June 3rd. Another Thursday episode. We love bringing you the Thursday episodes. Welcome back to the Duffin Up Podcast. My name is Brendan Monroe. I am joined, as always, by the one, the only, Michael Adams. Michael, how are you doing tonight?
Brendan, happy to be here. Let's get this show rocking and rolling as always. I feel like it's been a while and, you know, the golf world hasn't stopped. So let's just keep chugga-chugga-choo-choo.
All aboard the Charlie Hoffman train. That's all that matters. And our third and very not least co-host, probably the best out of all of us, we have the Irish Chooch himself, Timmy O'Reilly. Timmy, how are you doing this evening?
I'm good. I'm just looking on the screen, looking at the new background, and it looks like you're at the Brickyard 500 or something like that. And Mike with the all white looks like he's at an insane asylum in a rubber room in all white.
That's funny.
Just absolutely ready to talk some golf with you two chooches. That's for sure.
A lot of white back here, huh, Tim? A lot of white.
All white.
The entire thing. The entire thing is white. Oh, man. Yes, we do. We are. May give a little shout out later. We are working on things. Things are in progress. And this background, you may see a lot more of it come in the future. But we may talk about that later. But anyways, as always, the first thing we do when we have a very, very big tournament coming up is we want to talk about it. And to be honest, the last time we had a big tournament, we didn't talk about it that much. And of course, I am talking about the Women's U.S. Open. That's right. We have a ladies' night for all of you ladies out there listening. We are so excited to talk about the Women's U.S. Open this week, playing in Olympic Club in San Francisco. Sites of U.S. amateurs, 5 times or 6 times the U.S. Open itself. The last time with Webb Simpson playing in it and bringing it home in 2012. But this is the first time that it'll be played at Olympic Club for the women. And I know that, you know, it's going to be a great event. But the biggest thing we got here is I'm ready to hear from Timmy all about the course, because we have reverse camber fairways.
Camber,
C-A-M-B-E-R, reverse camber fairways. That's right. Did I have to look it up when I heard about this? You bet I did. You sure bet I did. But basically what happens in these fairways is that it will dogleg to the left, and then the fairway itself will tilt down to the right. So if you're hitting into the dogleg, you're most likely going to just come right off the fairway and into the rough. It is diabolical, some of these holes at Olympic Club. There was a stat just from the men's U.S. Open side that out of 750 players to complete all 4 rounds during the U.S. Opens, 4 of them were under par. So I'm just giving you a heads up that this week could be one of, if not the most high scoring U.S. Women's Open that we have seen in a while. I'm excited about it. I am ready for the women to get out there and do what they do best, but also be able to watch a little bit and be like, hey, they're golfers just like us too. They're going to struggle a little bit.
I remember back, and I wasn't as big of a golf fan in 2012, but I remember back when Webb Simpson won on the Olympic Club. And I just remembering that course being like visually just stunning and hard. And it was impressive to see. I remember what Webb Simpson just winning a friggin' major U.S. Open. But yeah, sweet course for these ladies to play. And yeah, there's some names that are creeping in, like we were talking about on ladies getting on podcasts. We were listening to just podcasts with other LPGA professionals talking, and they're just like us. They're grinding out there, and they want to hit it far, and they're just mentally strong and can that's unlike us, but they're just, these women can play golf at a high level, and it's starting to creep in the media, and people are starting to take notice.
Well, the last time I was really invested in the U.S. Women's Open was, I'm sorry to say, was back when it was mirrored with the, it was back to back right at Pinehurst number two. And back when Martin Keimer won for the men's, and then Michelle Wee, that was her, I think that was her last major.
But that's her only major. That's her only major.
Oh, all right. It's her only major. Who, Michelle Wee is actually a plus 100,000. So if you put a dollar down on Michelle Wee, you never know. So I don't know about that, but anyway, so I am really looking forward to getting some women's golf into there, especially after Barstool Sports last, you know, really putting women's golf back on the map. And for your average golf fan who just watches on Sunday or has to break down, you know, golf once a week on his podcast. And so I'm really invested and can't wait to see. So we got two sets of sisters in the field this week, which is interesting. I don't know if that's ever happened before. Two sets of sisters. It's Nelly and Jessica Korda. And they're pretty
monsters. Monsters.
And so I don't know what they were doing in that household, what they were eating, but give me something, you know, give me some of their meals. And then the Judd Nygaard sisters. And so they're also in contention. Be interesting to see. But then you got your usual, you know, Indy Park way back. She's back on top. She is the odds on favorite. Indy Park has been a household name in women's golf for the past, I don't know what, five,
10 years.
10 years. she started, she came out hot. She took a break for the last couple of years, but now she's right back in the thick of things. Brooke Henderson, the Canadian, you know, she has a following up in Canada. Just one of the notables. As always, Lexi Thompson's in there. And just some notable names that, you know, household names that even if you don't watch women's golf, you've heard their names coming up, on the news. So it'll be interesting to see at Olympic Park. And I don't know much about Olympic Park, but I'm guessing it was built for an Olympic. I'm hoping. I don't know. I'm just assuming.
Right.
Crazy. I have no idea. It's actually one of the oldest golf clubs in America. So it was originally founded as the Olympic Club. And it was like, you know, it was founded in the 1860s. So it was founded as like a men's open back in the day because, you know, we're in the 1860s and men, the only people that mattered back in the world back then were men. So, but they created like this men's athletic club, and it had golf, tennis, you know, the upper class sport, polo, like they had all that stuff there. Now it's like, it's right near San, you know, it's close to San Francisco. So like it's very famous. And the course is unbelievable. Like, freaking amazing, like how good they keep this course. And the really one of the coolest things was, I don't know if you guys remember back in 2012, but because of where the 18th hole is and how small the green is and then how steep all the sides are, they couldn't have grandstands. They didn't have grandstands on the 18th hole at Olympic Club, if you guys remember.
Terrific.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Too many grandstands at the PGA.
But I do like some of them though. But that was one of the holes where they just couldn't, like, legitimately could not have grandstands. Like, they had to be way back.
Love that.
Like,
love
basically it. right next to the clubhouse.
Four left.
Now, is that, it had like a natural amphitheater though, right?
Where it has a very natural amphitheater. It is so. Like, so the green, like, I don't know if you guys have seen picture or anything, but the 18th green is one of the smallest greens I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, legitimately, like, it's like a putt-putt, like mini golf green. That's how small it is. It is. It's not actually that small, but it makes like a Pete Dye green look big. And that's saying something.
Yo, it's cool because, like, if you look at future majors for women championships, majors. Mm-hmm. There's some pretty cool courses. Like, they're starting to line it up with some, like, Pebble Beach is in there.
Mm-hmm.
Pine Needles in South Carolina. I mean, I think there's one overseas for an open
There's two friend, overseas.
And Timmy, another name, Patty Tavatanakit. We didn't mention the ANA back when. Shame on us. But
ooh, what a shame. What a damn shame
another,
on us.
Another name there that people are starting to hear. She was on the No Laying Up podcast, just kind of sharing her story the other day. And really cool listening to these, all these walks of life, all these golfers, Joe Rogan podcast. Just, I was listening to a sleep podcast the other day. It was wild. Stuff blows your mind.
Mike gets on one podcast and all of a sudden he's like, I'm all in on podcasts now. I'm going to listen to every single one of them. I love it.
As long as I've known you, Mike, you've never had any trouble sleeping. That's for sure. No, but the exactly. But it's funny you mentioned that, Mike, like with the different venues or upcoming venues. I mean, I don't care if you're someone who's hacking away, I'm going to watch you play golf if it's at Pebble Beach.
Exactly.
If you're telling me you're playing at Pebble Beach, I'll watch you. I'll watch anyone at Pebble Beach.
Carnoustie. They play at Carnoustie.
Mm-hmm.
I forget. It doesn't say what. I don't know.
The Women's Open.
It might be this year.
Yeah, so they have the two majors, so the ANA Inspiration in Rancho Mirage at the Dinah Shore course. So that's like a very famous LP. That's like probably the most famous LPGA major right now. It's their like Masters equivalent, which is great. But it's always played at that course. So that course is always played at for the ANA Inspiration. The Women's PGA Championship, the Women's U.S. Open, and the Women's Open switch around courses. And then the Evian Championship is always played in, I think, Evian, France. Like, I know it's sponsored by the company that created Evian, but yes, it is played at Evian Le Bon in House Savoy. Yeah, no, the Evian Resort Golf Club in Evian Le Bon, France. I don't know. I don't exactly know in France where that is, but yeah. So it's wherever Evian Water started from. But yeah, so, you know, you do have the three different majors, just like the men's, they move around. Yeah, I mean, it'd be great to continue to see those courses. And continue to see the women getting the same opportunity as the men to get out on some of those really good courses. So that I'm sure they're going to be playing Pinehurst again for the Women's PGA Championship. I know they got Pebble Beach coming up in like a year or two. And then who knows, maybe they'll be out in Kiowa as well. Lord knows we need more at Kiowa. Ooh, I would love to see more golf at Kiowa. That's all I really care about.
What's the closest? I mean, we gotta figure out. I know the men are coming to the country club in 2022
next year.
I mean, we got to hit up an LGPA or LPGA event coming. When's the next one coming close? We got to go.
Yeah, so I honestly don't think they come.
Let's go to Europe.
So
let's go to Europe. Let's just do it.
Play some golf in Europe. Shit.
I know. Right. How great would that be? Yeah. So unfortunately I don't think the women actually really come. So I'm looking right now, and
I mean, I'm sure they play in New York or New Jersey. I mean, that's a hop, skip, and a jump for us. I mean, just
Ohio, Oregon.
Where's Baltusrol?
Baltusrol's in New Jersey. Yeah, they play a couple in New Jersey. They play two events, the ShopRite and the Cognizant Founders Cup in New Jersey. And then, yeah, so yeah, it's basically those two events they play, and it's a lot of Florida, California. Oh, couple in Hawaii.
Sold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we could definitely, oh my God, imagine going down. That'd be a nice little trip going down to New Jersey, getting there. That'd be pretty cool. LPGA, if you're listening, spot, we'll do a nice little get together on that one. That'd be pretty great. But you know, I'm really looking forward to this week. There's actually like a really good amount of storylines coming in this week, starting with, I know we've covered a couple of them already, but Lydia Ko coming back hot out of nowhere, just had been really struggling the past couple of years. She's still only 22 years old.
It's insane.
Crazy.
Insane. She almost came back at the ANA Inspiration. She shot 10 under on the last day, and she came within a couple shots of getting Patty Tavatakinit.
Patty Tavatakinit.
Sorry, Patty. She got very close to catching Patty T. And, you know, I mean, Patty was so strong that week that I don't think anyone was really going to catch her. But the fact that Lydia Ko went out, she did that. She got that. Then she went. Then she goes out, wins the Lotte Championship the next week out in Hawaii. So, I mean, she's working back in. She's going to get back there. I think she's been having a great year. She's the number two. She's number two in the CME Globe. So that's like their version of the FedEx Cup. So she's number two or number three in there right now. Like she's been having a great year, and I'm really looking forward to seeing if she can continue to make those strides here this week at the Women's U.S. Open.
Oh my God. Yeah, can we call her Patty T? Sure.
We'll call her Patty T.
Patty T. Now, is there? No, I'm not sure. And I'm just looking at this and thinking about back-to-back majors, because obviously she just won herself a major. The Grand Slam, like, is there any woman who has the career Grand Slam or anything like that? I mean, obviously Paula Cramer, or you know, someone who's Annika Sorensen or something like that.
I was about to say probably Annika Sorenstam has won all of those like a bazillion times each. Annika Sorenstam does not have the career Grand Slam because one of the five majors was not.
They gotta interesting. Get five. Dude, they got to get five. That's tough.
True.
Yep. And it was. Oh wow! This is interesting.
Was it added after she?
Retirement. Yep. So the Evian was not considered a major, and a different tournament was considered a major. The CP Women's Open up in Canada was considered that major, so she never won that event.
Gotcha. Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. A little strange, right?
Are there any, like Tim said, are there any older, like you hear a lot of older names on the PGA Tour. Are there any names that, how old is like Lexi Thompson? She's still young.
26. She's 26.
Yeah. Are there any older women on the tour ripping it up?
Michelle Wee West. She's 31. She's still crazy young. Yeah,
crazy young.
Christina Kim, she's pretty good. She's still up there. Like she still competes really, really well. And she's 37. I do think that the LPGA has kind of proved it is a young women's game, though. Like, I mean, you look at who were some of the best coming out of there. Like, you had Lorena Ochoa back in the day. She started winning when she was like 18, 19. Lydia Ko won her first event when she was 17. Like, Nelly and Jessica Corder are both still super young. Brooke Henderson's 23, and she won her freaking first major when she was like 17 or 18 or something like that. Like it's crazy. It is a younger women's sport.
And you know what that might be a factor into that is that it's women's golf is getting more and more popular, especially like with that generation. Like, so when you think about it, someone who's 30 years old, like Michelle Wee, or 31 years old, like when she started, she must have been like eight. So say it's 22 years ago. That's when it's like, all right, let's take these girls, invest time into this, and you know, put them through golf, send them to lessons, all this stuff. Like there's a future for all these girls as well, and not just the dudes. And then I'm so glad you brought up Lorena Ochoa, my absolute favorite women's golfer. Just her story. I don't know if you remember, but she came on the Big Break a few times. She was definitely she's always a star member, but her story is cool because she was at the top of her game. She won two majors. I believe she won a British Open and like I'm not sure the other one, but she has two majors. And then at the top of her game, she realized that she wanted to just quit golf and start a family. And at that, I mean, I can't even imagine like being the top. She was world number one. And she said, no, I want to have a family. I want to do things. And she realized what was important to her. And so I give her a lot of credit for that. One of my favorite women's golfer. That's for sure. And she's a real nice person. I've seen her on Big Break and she's just a real class act.
How many years did she take off?
She's still taking off. She has not returned.
Retired.
Yeah. She's done. Yeah. She retired in 2010. She joined the LPGA Tour in 2003, right? She retired in 2010. Between that time, she won 27 events on the LPGA Tour and 2 majors. What?
Wow.
Like, she's got that's numbers. That is some crazy. Like, you're basically averaging 4 wins a year. Like, no guy does that. Not even any girl on the LPGA right now does that. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy. Yeah, she was unbelievable. I would love to see her, like, kind of come out. You know what I mean? Like, one day come out and do that. But I know she doesn't do it very often, if ever, to be honest with you. So, interesting on that side. But, you know, so it is crazy how young a lot of these players are, at least on the women's side. The Korda sisters themselves, I know we talked about that too. You know, they are playing together in round one and round two. How crazy. That's
wow.
Yeah. So they're playing together in round one and round two. Nelly's 22 years old. Like, what? And she's number one in the CME Globe rankings right now. Jessica's 28, so she's a little bit older. She's like number four. Like, I don't know what their parents were feeding them. Like, were they just cutting up Pro V1s and putting them in their cereal? Like, what is going on back? Like, how does that happen? Insane.
I'll have what they're having. That's for sure.
1-2 by the end of Friday. They're going to be 1-2.
Like, what does it take? What does it take for two people in one household to be as good as them? Like, are they have like a golf academy in their garage?
They must, right? They must. Like, oh, I mean, they're from Bradenton. So they're from Bradenton, Florida. I think both of them went to, did they go? I'm just trying to see if they went to the high school that the AIG Academy or something like that. I don't see them. Nope. I don't see it. That's okay. but
very cool. Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And like we said before, you know, there's some other huge, huge names right here, two of which I think are not in need of like a win, but would definitely really help boost their careers this year if they won. And that would be Lexi Thompson and Danielle Kang. So neither of them have won. So Lexi Thompson's last major was 2014. So think about that. She's 26 years old. Her last major, she won when she was 19. And that was the A&A Inspiration.
Oh my God.
So 7 years ago, Danielle hasn't won a major since the 2017 women's PGA Championship. But, you know, I do think, like, you look at a lot of these women and a lot of them, like, they're cranking out wins during the year. And then it comes to the majors and it's just like, you know, I know we talk about that with Michelle Wee West too. Like, it kind of stinks. Like, I was watching her during the A&A Inspiration, and the first day she did great. And the second day she really had a bad day and actually ended up missing the cut. So it's just like, you know, really would love to see Lexi and Danielle have good weeks. And also, like, I love Brooke Henderson. Like, I think she's awesome. Minus the whole wearing her Skechers. Like, I hate Skechers shoes. And she's like their main, her and Matt Kuchar are like their main sponsors. So minus that, the way that she swings scares the ever living daylights out of me.
And she's small my God. Too.
She's small. She chokes up on the club like if you watch her driver, like, she chokes up on the club like crazy too. And she just goes, like, you know, she used to play hockey or something because she's got like a very, very hockey type swing. It's insane. And she's from Canada. So, you know, you just kind of figure she played hockey once in a while.
Fair assumption.
I would think so. Yeah. But the way she, it is scary the way that she swings that club and is able to get that much power, like insane.
My God. And it's not even then just back to her being short. Like, it's not even like Lexi Thompson. Like, I've seen both of them in person at the CVS Charity Classic. Both of them have come by, and Lexi Thompson, compared to that, Lexi Thompson, she has a presence of like someone who's 6'5", 6'6". And the way she swings, I mean, she's out driving Brad Faxon, even though he's an old guy now, but I mean, she was stroking the ball. And then yeah. I'm like, oh, here comes this little, I had no idea who Brooke Henderson was at the time. This was a few years ago. And I watched this little munchkin walk up to the tee, and she drove it just as far as Lexi Thompson, being, you know, almost a foot shorter. It was crazy. So yeah, you're right. And it must be that Canadian maple syrup in her veins or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
bacon.
She turned pro in 2014 at the age of 16. What? Like, how insane is that?
So she's got to like do her social studies homework before she goes and hits the driving range before on weekends she plays the U.S. Open.
Seriously, right? Like, I mean, she's got 10 LPGA Tour wins, 15 total professional wins, one major, another woman back in 2016. So she was 18 the last time she won a major. So we'll see. It seems like she's in contention every year at every single major. I don't know if I'm just making that up in my head, but it seems like she's always there. So it'd be great to see her be able to, you know, put in a good round again, put in a couple good rounds again this week too.
Jesus.
Watch it on NBC, 2-5 on Saturday, 3-7 on Sunday. Not enough coverage.
Nope.
You catch it on Golf Channel too.
Yeah.
Catch it on Golf Channel and Fubo TV. Fubo, if you want to. I think it's
what is Fubo anyway? Is that just like another
streaming service? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a streaming service. I'm a little surprised. They might have it on Peacock too. So if you have Comcast, you get Peacock. Yeah.
On Peacock.
So I'll be watching that too. Yeah, I think PGA Tour Live might go to Peacock. Well, they're on Amazon, but you know, it's kind of crazy how much that they don't show sometimes for the women. And I'm just like, ugh, you guys should really show a little bit more.
Yeah.
So why we need Golf Channel 2? We have a Golf Channel.
They don't even show up for the men.
That's true. Yeah, they do. Man, I mean,
commercials.
You got to pay the bills somehow. Am I right?
You know what I don't understand is all those TV contracts. You have a channel that is specifically called Golf Channel. When you have a golf tournament going on, shouldn't that coverage be on that golf tournament 24/7? I mean, I don't know. You're right. Let's have a Golf Channel 2, and then it's all in, like, at night when we're asleep. It's going to be, you know, the European Tour, and then round the clock we'll go right to the Korn Ferry Tour, and then we'll go right to the PGA. I mean, come on.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I definitely agree with you on that side. During the mornings, it's usually the European Tour.
Always.
Yeah, and then so the afternoon they'll show the PGA. Sometimes at night they'll show Korn Ferry, but not very often. On the weekends they do, but now on the weekends, and they'll show the LPGA on the weekends too. But there should definitely be a lot more coverage. So we'll have to write our congressman and make sure that they include that in their next provisioning to make sure Golf Channel shows more women's golf.
I mean, if they're trying to save money on this, I mean, just play reruns of different things. I don't need some old guy in a studio to tell me how to hit a bunker shot. I mean, come on, how many times are we going to break down different swings?
Golf school back in the day. I used to sit there and watch it and just be like, I should go do this. And then be like, wait a minute, I'm inside and I shouldn't be swinging golf clubs.
And you hear the same shit every time. And
Of course. Oh, man. So we are very, very excited for the women this week. It's going to be a great event. I'm pumped for it. I can't wait to watch it. Like Mikey said, make sure you tune in Thursday and Friday, a little bit on Golf Channel, a little bit on Peacock, and then Saturday and Sunday on NBC. It's going to be great. I'm excited for it. I can't wait.
Gonna be fun.
Oh yeah. So moving on, we now can move on to our old friends, the PGA Tour, and we can. What do you guys want to do? You want to discuss? Do a nice quick discussion on our sweet prince.
Oh, Jordan.
Yeah,
the kid.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, I'll just say good
night,
one thing.
Good night, sweet prince.
Oh. No, don't say that. He's still in there. The good news is that watching him come down the stretch against Jason Kokrak, boy, he can hit a golf ball, but that's for another time. Holy smokes. He's like a gorilla on the course. And then, but anyway, watching Jordan come down the stretch, it never seemed like he really had a chance. I mean, he just was not dialed in. He was missing shots left and right. I don't know if it had something to do with the Bermuda grass or anything like that, but it couldn't seem to get a clean shot, especially with his irons. And then when he hit that shot on the 18th hole, when he was, you know, all, if he made birdie and, you know, Kokrak made par, you know, then we're talking about a tie ball game or something like that. If he bogeyed, we're talking about a tie ball game, you know, into playoffs. But then Jordan hits it into the drink and bada bada yada, 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 yada. Then we have a Jason Kokrak win. But good for him. But the good news is that for all you Jordan Spieth fans out there, Jordan finished second in the tournament where he really did not play well in that final round. And so to still finish second, and to, if you were watching him, you know he was not Jordan Spieth. He's still there. And I'm looking forward to seeing him come U.S. Open time. I mean, it's a long course, Torrey Pines, holy hell. But Jordan Spieth, he's here to stay. And that's my hot take. I don't know if it's a cold take, but we're taking it, and that's the take I'm taking.
I love it.
Schwab,
we didn't give Charles Schwab challenge any due last week, which again, we had a great week last week, enjoyed every second of it. But one thing I learned, Colonial Golf Course in Texas, is it near Dallas, Brendan?
Mm-hmm.
And
Jordan Spieth's home course, by the way, which makes this even worse, yikes. Which makes it even worse that he choked.
There's history at that course, right? That course, that tournament goes back. Ben Hogan won that tournament, right? At that course.
Yeah, it was Ben Hogan's like tournament from back in the day.
He's won like five or six times or something like that.
Right. Yeah, no, yeah. It was almost, it wasn't considered like the, you know, back when Waste Management was the Western Open and they tried to make it like the fifth major, like Colonial was never that. But yeah, it's always been like a very prestigious tournament. And it was a huge tournament back when the PGA was not in May. So when the PGA was in July, like the Colonial, like, Charles Schwab at the Colonial was like the May tournament. You know what I mean? Like it was the biggest tournament in May, and now it's, you know, not.
Definitely.
So, a little unfortunate for Jordan. You know, just a rough, just kind of little rough week for him, but you know, hopefully he's onwards and upwards now too. And he's got a big tournament coming up this week, boys, because we have the house that we are going to, the house that Jack built. We are off to Mirfield Village Golf Club for the Memorial Tournament. Lovely little place. Lovely place in Dublin, Ohio. There are two courses there, actually. So there's Mirfield Country Club and there's Mirfield Village Golf Club. So the event takes place at Mirfield Village Golf Club. And honestly, just some of the things that you read about, like how crazy Jack is with Mirfield Village Golf Club, it's unbelievable. The fact that he rips it up after the tournament every year. Every year in the fall, he rips up the entire course and basically makes some tweaks here, makes some tweaks there, adds a couple things in here, adds some things in there. Every year he does this. It's insane. Yeah, it just shows you how much of like a perfectionist Jack is and how much he really cares about that course and how much he wants the tournament to succeed. Because boy, oh boy, just sometimes it comes out and it gets a little rough out there sometimes too. You know, it's played pretty well every year, but there are definitely some challenges in Mirfield Village. So, you know, I'm excited for this week as well, guys. I'm really looking forward to it.
That's a lot of grass seed. I'm trying to seed my lawn and it's like a, it's a small little yard and holy hell, it takes a lot of grass seed. But so Jack, I mean, now that I'm thinking about it, I mean, obviously he hosts the Honda Classic too, which is another course. Obviously he's designed a lot of courses and things like that, but how many tournaments does he have? I mean, this must be, I mean, cause he's definitely, that's his tournament at the Bear Trap and everything like that, the Honda Classic, but then Muirfield, you're right. Muirfield is Muirfield.
This is this is like his baby, like legitimately, like this is his tournament, which is cool. Mm-hmm. This was his original tournament. He started it back in the 70s.
And this is the one, I mean, they have, correct me if I'm wrong, they have the American flags on the green. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm still trying to understand. He rips up the whole golf course.
I know.
What?
Bonkers. Rips.
Like, it's literally insane. Like, they rip it up. I don't know about, like, you know, the entire course, yeah, but they like literally rip up parts of the course and redo it. And I'm just like, what? How? Like, but hey, it goes to show, like, those yardage books that they give the guys, just throw them away. Like, point. Yeah. Like, every year, you can't rely on last year. He put in a new bunker. You can't rely on last year. He made the fairway, you know, 6 inches shorter on that side. So, you know, I mean, I'm giving great kudos to Jack there because, boy, that just, it is ingenuity because you're making it basically a new tournament every year. Like, there's some similarities, obviously, but you are making a golf course significantly harder every year.
He's keeping his name relevant. He's finding ways to make sure he's letting these guys know he's the best.
I mean, hell of a clubhouse too. I mean, just the pictures of it, you know, right up on the, coming up on the 18th hole. But so yeah, I guess you're right. You never play the same course 2 years in a row, which is kind of cool. I mean, keeps things fresh and spicy. So I don't know. I mean, I like Jack. I mean, who knows? He's won gazillion tournaments. Let him have his tournament or second tournament.
Taking Bryson out of my daily fantasy lineup. If the course is changing every year, Bryson can't keep up.
He can't
calculate that quick enough. Come on.
He's going to have like a 6 hour round just out there with his compass. Oh man, that's awful. I'm sorry, Bryson. We give Bryson way too much hate on this podcast and I feel like we need to stop.
No, he's fine.
He deserves it.
Yeah. There's guys out there that deserve it. They just deserve it.
In the whole Brooks and Bryson feud, I'm team Bryson.
Like, Me too.
I got to go with the nice guy. I like Bryson. I mean, he's
right.
He's just like socially awkward and things like that, but that doesn't make him a bad guy. So I'm going to go with that.
No, I'm in that situation. I'm team Bryson too. I mean, Brooks looks kind of foolish to me, but we'll see in the end. Brooks, we also don't give him his due sometimes. Four majors deep as
He's unbelievable. I think I've made this comparison before. Like, Brooks is the jock in high school and then he thinks Bryson is the nerd, so mm-hmm. he's just like, this is like a 90s comedy, right? This is literally Revenge of the Nerds. Like, it's literally just like Brooks wants to stuff Bryson in a locker, but Bryson has now found a way to be too big for said locker and Brooks is upset about it.
Brooks could kind of stay out of the limelight pre Bryson, but Bryson's just gotten on his nerves to where,
oh my God,
the real Brooks is personality shows and it makes you also not want to root for him.
Oh bro, they hate it. Like, that rivalry is so good for golf, but like, I Jesus, they do not lose. Like each
I want
other
them both to lose in everything. I want them and tie, like tie and last, just
we gotta make them play together. Oh, but I did hear the last time it wasn't Brooks, it was Bryson who apparently, I think they were supposed to play together at like a big, I think it was at the Players, not this year, but last year. And Bryson said like, no, like I'm not playing. Like Bryson like made a stink about it. Or maybe not the Players, because there was no Players in 2020, but it was a bigger tournament. And Bryson was like, I'm not playing with him.
As Frankie Borelli says, it's got to happen organically, naturally.
Mm-hmm. Naturally.
And this is a very natural.
On a Saturday morning where they're forced to play each other with each other because they're they shot the same fucking score.
Oh my God. Imagine a final round between those two.
I want to see those guys like finally just bear hug each other. Like Adam Sandler, Bob Barker, like Happy Gilmore, just rolling around the golf course, just trying to knock one another out.
Yep. Or they finally squash and become best of friends. I don't know. Like some good feel good story. And I don't know. Just like they realize they both look like idiots and you know, let's just play some golf.
Oh man. No, I would love that. I do think, imagine just like on a Saturday, it's just like Bryson hits a good shot and Brooks just goes, good shot, nerd. Like it would literally be like that.
Yeah, like it becomes a brotherly kind of like knocking, you know?
Yeah. Oh my God. That'd be hilarious. I would love that. But yeah, I mean, I don't even think Brooks is playing. Brooks definitely not playing this week. I don't think we're going to see Brooks until the US Open again. We're definitely not going to see Brooks until the US Open again. Brooks is getting into that like mindset that like he'll play the majors, which I don't think he's nowhere near good enough there. But if his knee's acting up, I want him to take it easy. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want him out there. Like, I want his knee to be good so that way we can see good Brooks, because good Brooks.
I think if Brooks was fully healthy, he'd just be playing the majors. I don't think he would play any of the tournament.
Gotta agree.
Maybe a couple, but it not is, a lot.
It's just weird that like one of the best players in golf just like doesn't really like golf that much.
Exactly. I was just going to say that. That's what turns me off with Brooks. He just doesn't really like golf. He's good at it, but he doesn't like it. He doesn't.
Yeah. I know he said like before, like if he could choose between being a pro golfer and a pro baseball player, he would have chose being a pro baseball player. So that bugs me a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, Tim. Yeah. Tim's like, now I like him more again.
Oh, yeah. But anyway, yeah. Wow, we went off on a tangent on these two.
I know, right? But one of the cooler things about the Memorial as well is it's a big boy purse. So this and the Genesis Open are the two biggest purses outside of World Golf Championships, which are all like between 10 and 10 and a half million. The Tour Championship playoffs, which are all above 10, and then the majors. And of course the players will include in there. The players is the highest purse, $15 million this year. That's insane.
Wow.
JT, who won, he took over $2.7 million. Insane. Absolutely insane money. But $9.3 million up for grabs this week. So big paycheck.
Big purse.
That's Jack. Yeah. That's Jack.
Mm-hmm.
That's Jack.
So we got our defending champion, John Rahm. Big man. Big John Rahm with his fiery personality was the 2020 champion. They actually played back-to-back events last year, which was kind of weird. I don't know if you guys remembered that. But they played, like, one of the tournaments had to drop out or something like that. So they actually played back-to-back at Muirfield Village, which was crazy because Ryan Palmer got cut the week before the Memorial, the event before the Memorial. And then I think it was the Workday. I think they called it like the Workday Championship or something like that. So he got cut at that event and he went home for 3 days, practiced, flew back up to Muirfield Village and came in second in the fucking Memorial. It was crazy. It was insane. I was like, damn, dude. Slow and steady. I love me some Ryan Palmer, but I was not expecting that.
Wow, what did he do when he went home? I gotta know.
met with his coach apparently and just went nuts. Seriously, right? I would love whatever he had. If he had those Pro V1 shavings in his cereal as well, like I would love to have that. Oh man,
that's how crazy stuff. A game golf is. That's how crazy of a game golf is. I was talking to a good friend the other day. He shot his best round at his home course, 70. And might have been 2 days later, whatever. Next time he went out, shoots his worst round since like ever. 89. Like, you just, you can go from being really good on one shot or really good one day to really bad. And it's like, what happened?
Seriously,
that's,
right?
That's the game of golf. And it's friggin' awesome.
Thomason wins the PGA Championship next week, misses the cut. I mean, it wasn't.
I don't think Phil even cared. I think Phil was just like, I'm pretty happy that I missed the cut. Actually, I get to go home.
He looked like he put on 15 pounds.
He probably did.
I don't know. Maybe I just didn't take notice on during the PGA Championship because he was just killing it. But in that next weekend, he was maybe wearing a tight shirt on the belly. And I'm like, man, his belly looks big.
Well, hey, he was over this past weekend. He was just drinking freaking, if you guys saw that video, he's drinking wine out of the Wanamaker trophy. He was like, just tastes better for some reason. I don't know what it is, but it just tastes better. And I was like, yes, Phil.
Oh, yeah.
Oh man, what a great guy Phil is. Need him to keep winning. Imagine if he goes and wins the U.S. Open. Completes the Grand Slam.
What are the odds on they have to be
a bazillion to one, an absolute bazillion to one? Like I would put like a dollar on that, and we would walk out of Vegas being millionaires.
Oh, let's do it.
Speaking of gambling for no reason whatsoever. We have our daily fantasy picks for the Memorial Tournament.
I'm so glad.
Sponsored by no one. Because no one will sponsor our podcast yet. So we will not say, once again, if you sponsor our podcast, we will immediately switch over to whatever daily fantasy you have. But until then, we will stick with our daily fantasy picks. So I think I went first last week, right?
Did you intentionally, or did I miss it? You skip over the 2020 winner?
No, we talked about John Rahm. We talked about Big Johnny. Don't worry.
I must have blanked there because I know you got. I know you guys like him, and I don't. So
I just love his freakouts.
Oh yeah, I might have been putting my lineup together over here. I have a killer lineup. I love it.
Oh man, yeah. Another good thing about like the bigger events too. So like this is a big event. Like you do get guys for a little bit cheaper as well. So that's really helpful. So did I go first when we did the daily fantasy for the PGA, or did you go first, Michael? Or did you go first, Timbo?
I think I did.
I think I went first. Yeah, I think
Michael. Okay. All right. So I'll go first this time. Once again, guys. Just a group of Brendan's players right now. So first off, $9,900, Victor Hovland, 15 out of 16 cuts made, 7 top tens, looking good. Really, I think this could be, maybe he can punch through on this one. I would love that. Second up, $8,800, Joaquin Niemann. All of the cuts he has made this year, I am sticking with him until he misses the cut. He will be in this lineup every week until he misses a cut. I don't care how much he is. He will be in the lineup.
Loyal. Wow. Loyal right there. He's earned your trust. I mean, he's obviously won you over.
He has earned my trust. He has won me over, and I'm loving every second of it. Third person in. $8,300. Top 5 finish last week. You hear that, guys?
We already
heard that in the background. I know who it is. God, he did play well.
$300. Third place last week when we didn't even put lineups in. Oh, Charlie Hoffman, you're staying in here. You are another one. You are staying in here forever until you get cut and then you're out. But you're staying in until then. Big name, and not like a big, big name, but a pretty good name at $7,500 this week. Kevin Streelman. Yeah. Streels has been having a good year. Top 10 at the PGA.
Any of you guys 20th? See him at the PGA?
Oh, when he didn't get any love?
No, for what? Coming in? Oh,
yeah. Phil didn't give him a big hug or anything. I was so sad by that. I was like, damn, right. Phil.
But I was. And after the 18th, when they crossed paths or something, Phil just walked right by him. I mean, Streels is kind of like a guy you could walk by and not. Like, Brendan, you said one of the early podcasts we were doing that you and your dad saw him in the bar, and your dad's like, that's a PGA pro, but I don't recognize him. Or you said that, and your dad's like, that's Streels.
I don't know. My dad was like, he looks like a PGA pro. And I'm like, yeah, that's Kevin Streelman.
Yeah. At least you knew. But when he shoots his, like, he chips around the green, like, I think it's within, I don't know, 50 yards, how he wears his glasses
is backwards.
They're backwards, but they're like hanging. They're like, they're not over the top. They're like,
yeah.
Or no, they are over the top, but
they're backwards. They're upside down.
His head must be so still when he hits. Cause like, that would be so in my head during any golf shot.
Oh man. Yeah. He does keep a pretty still head, which is good. But you know, he's been having a pretty good year. He's making a lot of cuts. He finished top 10. He finished 20th last week, like good points guy. Really think he's going to do well this week. Fifth pick, Matt Wallace, 7,400. Big year this year. Mike, I know you've taken him a couple times. I've taken him a couple times. He has yet to fail. Like, he is there pretty much every week. He's been crushing it. The top 10s are obviously not where you would want the top 10s to be. But, I mean, he has not missed a cut since February. Or, sorry, since March. So we're going to keep it going with him.
Good English lad.
Good English lad. And finally, this is a big one. Patton Kizzire in his last two tournaments has finished tied for third both times.
Hot. He is a heat check right here. Let's see if this pays out for you.
Mm-hmm. I did see him at the RBC Heritage and he stunk that week. But besides that, he's been having a really good year so far. He has made 5 top 10s, 17 out of 20 cuts. He's looking good. Side note, I left $800 in the pot this week. I have yet.
Atta boy.
I pulled a Timbo and I left money in the pot. Usually I leave at 100. Usually if I leave any money, it's like $100 or so.
Yeah.
Left $800 this week.
That's a lot of coin leaving on good players.
800 bones.
800 bones. All right, Tim. Up to you next.
All right, my most expensive player. I have $300 remaining.
What? I out mom and popped the original mom and pop. I love it.
No one over 10 grand for this one.
So you spread it out hard.
Nobody's better than Patton Kizzire. I mean, come on.
Dude, I can't wait to hear Mike's killer lineup. That's
Bubba Watson, Ricky Fowler.
Well, Billy, we know how I feel.
Your boy, Billy. Dude, you could go Louis Oosthuizen. I mean, I'm sorry. Timmy, I interrupted. You go.
All right. Well, I'll start off with that. I picked him first. He is not my most expensive player, but Louis Oosthuizen. He is my absolute.
If you don't have him, I mean, I'm sorry.
He's on the list. He's on your list.
Timmy, He's on my list. He has made 11 out of 12 cuts. He missed the cut one time and I chose him. I didn't pick him the next week and he came in like he was part of the second place team at the match play event or whatever, the team event at the Zurich. But anyway, so Louis Oosthuizen, I'm keeping him in there. Played hot at the PGA. Got to stick with my guy. Greatest swing or the smoothest swing on tour at the moment.
His caddy just needs to tell him on those clutch shots, like, just come through it. Like, just don't miss it right. Come through it.
Don't pull it. Do not pull it, Louis.
God.
Timmy, I'll let you finish. Jeez, I'm so, again, pardon me.
No. We got second place, Patrick Cantlay, 2019 winner of this very tournament. Patrick Cantlay, just top 10 golfer right now. Almost a lock for the Ryder Cup team. Let's see if he can go 4 top 10s this year. Someone we forgot about, not really forgot about, but in lieu of old man golf, I always got to pick someone old. So this is old man golf. It is not Phil Mickelson. It is not Steve Stricker. His name is Stuart Sink. Obviously already has a W this year.
Great.
Two. Didn't want to forget about him.
Two W's.
Two. Sorry. My apologies, yep. Stuart. Mm-hmm. 7,500 bucks. Got to pick him. I regretted not picking in the PGA Championship. You guys both had him. Fared well for me in that very tournament where Stuart Sink won back at Brendan's tournament. Corey Connors, 9,300 bucks. Corey Connors, my man has seven top tens this year. Seven. Count them, seven. Ricky Fowler. I am choosing Ricky Fowler. I know Brendan's going to hate that move, but he is back. He's not back, but he realized, like, oh my God, he was getting by the skin of his teeth. Is that even the saying? Skin of his teeth, skin of his mm-hmm. teeth,
skin of his teeth. Yep.
Not the skid of his teeth, not the skid mark on his teeth.
I don't know.
Man. Brendan, explain yourself on this Ricky Fowler hate stance. Well,
it's not a Ricky Fowler hate stance. It's just,
you're not rooting for Rick?
No, I'm not. Nope. What? Nope. Nope. Until he
makes an outfit change?
No, until he stops doing goddamn commercials that I watch after he misses the goddamn cut. I'm not rooting for him.
Oh, you're going to blame the commercials? You're going to take Nick Faldo's side in that?
How many times does a Grant Thornton commercial have to air the weekend after you just went plus 12 and missed the cut by a billion?
I mean, commercials take a second to film. I'm sure he's making bank and he's practicing a shit ton. He's just not winning. You just got to root for a guy who's working. He's everybody likes him. Nobody. I don't know.
I love watching him swing too, because he's 5'8" and he's probably 120 pounds soaking wet. And he can just make the ball go real far for someone. I mean, pound for pound, bang for bang, buck for buck. I mean, he's making the ball go 300 yards. I mean, it's just, his mechanics are stupendous. Mm-hmm. Last person, I had $300 remaining, but I had to pick him. He was the best of the bunch, or someone I feel who has the most potential, Harry Higgs.
Big rig, Harry Higgs.
I skipped over a few people who were more money, but I got to go with my man, Harry Higgs. He's got real potential on the tour.
How much was he?
69.
Ooh. That's low.
Real low.
That's real low. That's a good steal.
He's due.
I think I might.
Yep. Second at the Safeway, had a top five at his first ever major. Dude, Big Rig's coming up. I'm very
big
excited.
Rig, that's right. Big Rig.
So I think his names were Big Rig and Big Beautiful. I like them both, but I just think I get Big Beautiful. It's funny. I just think Big Rig describes Harry Higgs because he is a big rig. Like, he is a big man, and I love him. I saw him a couple times down in South Carolina. The dude's just like awesome. He's sponsored by Grayson, so he's wearing like a $9,000 polo for no reason whatsoever. But hey, he's crushing it, and I love. I'm a big fan of the Big Rig, Harry Higgs.
Give me more of the Big Rig and Big Beautiful. No way. I've only heard Big Rig. I've never heard Big Beautiful for this guy.
Team Big Rig.
Does he go by Big Beautiful, Brennan?
Colt Nose calls him that. So, like, I mean, Colt. Yeah, Colt's awesome. But like, Big Rig started. I mean, Scott Van Pelt and started Big Rig, and I'm just like, I'm on Big Rig. I'm on Big Rig, Harry Higgs.
Hell yeah! No, me too. I was thinking about maybe cutting the guy and taking.
Don't change. Don't change now. If you change now, you'll regret it. I've taken Louis.
I know.
I took Louis Oosthuizen out.
I'm staying
one time. One time I took Louis Oosthuizen out and he finished second in the Masters. Never take people out.
No, I stick to my guts. Win or lose, always lose. But yeah, Timmy.
Let's hear it.
You sounded excited about your
I'm excited.
What'd you call it? A superb lineup or a.
I forget the adjective.
Let's hear it. I'm excited.
But I'm pumped for this lineup. I think I do them on the fly and you hope for the best. I don't put much thought into it, but we definitely know the guys on our list here. I'm trying to think. Sorry, guys. Hideki Matsuyama rounding out the top.
Yes, he won a few years ago.
I mean, Masters champ. Always, always good. Tony Finau, my guy.
Where he be now? Where he be now, Tony Finau?
Rooting for Tony. Really, really rooting for Tony. I got Cam Smith. Cam Smith's been playing really good this year. Haven't really heard his name too much lately, but I don't know. Hopefully he comes out and balls.
He made the cut at the PGA.
Did he?
I think. Yeah, he made the cut.
Yeah.
Love to hear that. Louis Oosthuizen. Louis.
Yeah, baby.
Terrific South African lad playing some good golf. Just needs to rip that meaningful one and he'll be holding up trophies a little more.
Just aim more left.
I don't even.
Just aim more left.
No, aim more towards it and just come through it. He knows what he's doing. I'm not going to tell him what to do. Doug Yim.
Good pick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Good
yeah, yeah.
pick.
Rooting, yeah. rooting for the guy. I think he's battling for his card always, or he's young, so not always, but he's battling to stay on tour. And Sebastian Munoz, just because he's sponsored by Flex Seal.
Yeah. Shout out, Josh.
So he.
Shout out our boy, Josh Mayer, who played with a Flex Seal club in one of his newer videos. Ah, what a guy.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I like that Munoz pick.
Flex.
He's always a value pick. He's always a value pick.
He's one of those guys that, like, he'll never – I mean, he does sometimes finish in, like, the top five or the top ten, but, like, he's always – he's making cuts. He's making a lot of cuts. He's very consistent.
Remaining salary zero. I don't understand the philosophy of not trying to use all of your money.
Ma, man, pop.
I'm a spender, I guess.
We know, Michael. We know, Michael.
That's good stuff. We haven't done daily fantasy in
a while. Time. Yeah, in 2 weeks.
It'll be good to get in these and see how we do and lose another five bones.
You guys swing the club this week?
Unfortunately not. I have not swung the club. I've not swung the clubs in 2 weeks now. It's weird. I don't know what's going on.
That's terrible. There's no excuse. It really isn't. When they say golf's not accessible to everybody, I get that stance, but you can be creative like our boy with Flex Seal, Josh. Just, I mean, that's incredible. And I mean, you can get one golf club, a couple golf clubs for relatively cheap used clubs. And if you get a ball and you make your own hole, you've got a golf course and you don't need to, it could be in your basement. It could be in your living room. It could be outside in your driveway. Don't just say, oh, there's concrete. You can play off concrete, baby. You can get that golf ball. And sometimes, you know, I'd rather hit it off the cart path because it's a frigging clean lie. If I'm in the rough, you know, I'm not taking that drop. I'm hitting it off the cart path because I've practiced because I'm an idiot hitting off. I mean, don't ruin your club, but here I go.
You can't chunk it either. I love that part.
Can't chunk it. Exactly. Exactly. But yeah, trying to, Brennan, put the
gun. Got to get out there.
Pull some putts. Put a cup down in your basement and just try and hit the. You do any of that?
Oh, yeah. I got the perfect. I got a little putting green. That I do. So that's good.
Timmy, he did choose if you could have one hole on a stranded island putting.
I chose the putter, baby.
He's obviously got a putting green. I mean,
one putting forever. Never three putt again.
Never.
God.
Classic.
We should see that. Mike, do you play?
I haven't played like a controlled round, like a 9-hole round or an 18-hole round. I've just jumped out for like 5 or 7 after work before coaching or before work or so. But yeah, I've been getting out and hitting it horribly. I mean, just driving it, losing it, making sure, God willing, that I have enough balls in my bag. If not, you go looking for some.
Until Scavenging, man.
Until you're satisfied that you can just play carefree and swing free, and you're going to have another ball to live another day. But yeah, the driver's been strugglesome, and just clean shots aimed at the target have been strugglesome. So, yeah, Tim, how about yourself?
Oh, I love that you're doing that. You have that leniency now to play.
I know, it's so nice, man. It's so nice to have a place where you can literally just show up and walk out and play five holes and not have to worry about getting caught or sneaking on or like just, I don't know.
Maybe that's why you're playing so bad. That's why you're playing so bad. You're like, I could be here? Are you sure?
Right, right, dude.
Are you sure that I should be here?
You need the adrenaline rush of sneaking on to play well.
My brother played today 18 holes after work.
Wow.
You can get around in a cart. You can get around quick.
This is the time to play. It doesn't get dark until like 8:39. Right. Mm-hmm. June's the way to go.
Celtics lost. I mean, if you're a Boston Celtics fan, today is quite a friggin' day. Wow. Danny steps down. Brad Stevens takes on a role that I didn't ever see him in. But pretty sad. I'll go on record to say I'm pretty sad if Brad Stevens coaches last Celtics game. I think he gets a lot of blame, but I don't really think anybody knows the real locker room in there. And maybe he doesn't show that he's I'm not even going to get into it. It doesn't even matter.
That's okay.
It doesn't even matter. But Celtics, I trust him in the front office, baby. I certainly trust him in the front office. So we move on. Tough loss. Room for anyone who plays the Nets. And
definitely. Unless it's the Lakers.
No, I'm rooting for the Lakers over the Nets. Big time. And
playoff hockey's on too. So
I know, it's been great.
Playoff hockey. Please, Timmy, let me on the bandwagon. Please, Timmy. Let me on, Brendan.
Please, Timmy. I was just about to say.
I know the season going, not that I'm a huge hockey, but I love watching playoff hockey.
Brendan, oh my God, please. I'm a huge hockey. Yeah, everyone's allowed on the hockey bandwagon, except your brother. Chris is not allowed because Chris I've never met a human being who talks more shit about a sport in my entire life than Chris talked about hockey.
You will reach out and help my hand.
I will.
Bandwagon, even if I'm on it. I'm telling you. But my household is trying very hard to stop me from being on it and watching. I got to go to a new TV. I just got to suffer and get a little TV, you know?
It's against the Islanders. I mean, it's New York.
Hockey's an awesome sport. Hockey's such an awesome sport.
It is.
So freaking cool, man.
Been telling everyone for years and no one listened.
It's got to be skill wise. I think it is the hardest sport except for hurling, Irish hurling, but it requires the most hand-eye coordination with skill. I mean, you're getting whacked from every which way.
Whacked. I love it. Definitely whacked.
Yeah. It hurts.
Dude, and you got to skate and not fall. I mean, holy hell.
Unreal. And then if you want to play goalie, fucking
psychopath.
Friggin'
all squatting for 3 hours.
Every goalie that I have ever met in my entire life when I was playing turned out to be an absolute lunatic when they growed up. Loonies. They all need to be in the goddamn bin because they are all absolute loonies. Oh man. Anyways, that was talking Boston sports. Thanks for the guy. Thanks for everyone for listening for that.
If you couldn't tell, we're from that area and region of the country
that we are.
Big time sport fans all the way around.
Absolutely. But as we close out and as we close every Duff and Up podcast, we do have my favorite segment, which is the Chooch's Golfer Poll. For brand new listeners, if there are any of you out there, and we welcome all of you, so please come and listen to us. But basically, Timmy has done a great job in creating some fantastic golfer polls, which are answered on TikTok through his TikTok account. We repost them sometimes on the Duff and Up account, but not usually because Timmy does a great job and we don't need to steal some of his luster. But as we say, Timmy, the floor is yours. Ask away.
All right, boys and girls, chuches and chuchitas. Here we are. We're back. Here. We did. I don't even know if we did. We did a golfer pull last week.
You've had a lot of time.
We did the snake draft. We did the snake draft.
Oh, I could do those all day. I love that type of stuff. That was kind of cool. All right. So this is, we don't have, this one's a quick one. This one, this was one of the first ones I ever did way back when. And this before Michael and before Brendan were even in the picture. So nobody likes to start on a par three, start an 18 hole round on a par three. Nobody likes to end an 18 hole round on a par three. On a, who wants to start on a par three and who wants to end on a par three?
No one.
Which would you rather do? Would you rather start an 18 hole round on a par three or end on an 18 hole par three? If you had to choose.
That's hard. And
finish.
You say finish, Mike?
Yeah. I love par threes. I love par threes. And I don't like them on the first hole, though. Like, I don't want my first. Like, typically when I get to a golf course, I'm not hitting the range. I'm not even rolling a putt. Like, I'm just literally getting out of my car and bringing my bag to the first tee.
Well, it's because you're late to the for the tee box.
Right,
that's
right, you're right. I mean, we can leave that. That's unsaid. But known. but yeah, no. Hate the first shot and to put, I don't know, whatever club you want in my hand and try and not make a five first hole, like shoot.
True.
Like five is always the number, like on any hole, like par fives, I can probably make a five more often than I can make a four on a par four. I think you guys know what I mean, but mm-hmm. fives are common numbers. And when you're not warmed up and you see, fuck, I got to shoot a nine iron on a 145 yard downhill first hole where I don't know how to swing, what the wind's looking like, what the yard is. I mean, I got to dial all this in and step up confidently and rip one on the first. But as we get going, like you get warmer, you get looser and you start to dial in. And I've always liked par threes. So give it to me on 18. Hopefully I'm feeling good by then. That's all.
I mean, I'm just thinking back to Heather Hill. Starting on that par three all brutal. The time, every brutal. Time.
Five, every time. Five.
Oh, man.
Put it on the green first shot. Five. Four, like you haven't putt, like you just.
Yeah. I do remember, so when the Tour Championship, they used to play it as it's, because at East Lake Golf Club, the actual 18th hole is that par three, but they switched the nines for the tournament, so it ends on the par five. Right. Which is an unbelievable thing that they did and makes it so much better. Ending every tournament should end on a par five. I think I know none do. Oh 100%. God. Every single course should end on a par five. But anyways, yeah,
that I wasn't the question, bro.
I know. I'm going to go.
You don't even know still.
I'm going to go start. I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to go start.
You always go the other way.
I know. It's perfect.
You always go. You just do it to go the other way.
Exactly. I'm a contrarian. What can I say?
Why do you want to go? Why the other way?
I don't mind hitting an iron off the first tee. I wouldn't mind that. I hate.
Good point.
Hate ending. I would hate it. I've actually never ended on a par three. And I
don't
think
know
I would.
If I have either. I don't know if I have either.
I think it would literally like destroy me. Like, honestly, I think I would just be like, F this. Like, what is, you know what I mean? Like, no. Nope. I am.
Do you know of any par three you finished on?
It is funny you mentioned that, gentlemen. This past week, this is what made me think about it. This past week, I played Quonset.
Finish?
It starts on a par three and ends on a par three.
That's the most Quonset thing I've ever heard. Oh, my God.
Brutal. I'm like, you got to be kidding
me. You can't even.
It's not even a town in Rhode Island. It's a hamlet. And, of course, their golf club starts and ends with a par three.
God, it is brutal. It's not even an executive course where they probably do that all the time. It's a legit full-length course with par fives, par fours, whatever. And it starts on a par three and they just go back to back. Like you go out and you play the par three. I mean, Jesus. And, but anyway, so my decision, what I have come to, my opinion has come to is that I would absolutely rather start on a par three. I agree with Brendan. I don't mind hitting an iron to start off with. I hear you, Mike. I just want to get up and I just want to hit an iron, hit a driver, you know, without thinking. Right. But after every time I play at Quonset, I just feel unfinished. I feel like, all right, like I'm hitting an iron and I'm like, all right, where's the next hole? And it's like, oh, we got to walk to the clubhouse. Like, geez. And correct me if I'm wrong. It is so much harder to make a birdie on a par three. And that is definitely an opinion. But I feel like it's harder to make a birdie. I love par threes. There's no better feeling than sticking a green on a par three in one shot. But in my opinion, we're sticking a green on your second shot, but
feeling unfinished on every 18th green. Like I feel unfinished after I walk off of every 18th green. It doesn't matter.
Oh, that's deep, Mike. That's deep.
it doesn't matter. I'm always just like, shit, like that could have went way better.
Oh, I love that. That's unbelievable.
I know what you're saying, Timmy, but I almost want to like disagree with your, I've always liked par threes and it's almost like I've driven it to the middle of the fairway. Now I can just approach the green. Like I kind of take that drive. If you put me in the middle of the fairway, like I feel much more confident. It almost gives you that thought on par threes. Mm-hmm. Where like on par fours, like I have to drive it into the fairway first in order to like,
okay,
have a fair shot at hitting the green. Like if I, and the chances at that are slim. So that's how I kind of look at that, but I don't know.
I do hear that. Like you're saying there's one more step involved on a par four. Yeah.
Right.
Now, what about a par five? I do like Brendan's, like, I think, especially in tournament play, every course. And that's funny you say that, Brendan. We were watching the final round on Sunday and I wasn't too familiar with that course. And so it came to the 18th and I'm like, oh, good. Like, I'm just assuming there's got to be a par five left. There's got to be a par five left and no par five left. Jordan has, I'm like, all right, he could make eagle. There could be a swing here, you know, but there was just a dainty little par four and
makes the Texas Open great. Like Corey Connors won the Texas Open in 2019 because he eagled the par five at the end.
Yeah.
He had the frickin' stones to go for the green and two and it paid off for him. Like, I love par fives to end. I love it at East Lake. I love it at the Valero Texas Open in San Antonio. Like I just think it's the way to go. And I know like that might be like a little different than what other people think, but I think it's I love it. I love
TPC Boston where they have that final.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's another
18th hole. Yep.
Very reachable.
Very reachable, especially if you really get your drive out there. Some of the guys hit 3 wood off that drive now. But they lay up too. You know what I mean?
It's like a turtleback green though. It's you got to be real good with that approach. Yeah. That's a tough little green.
Brutal. Oh man.
Good question.
Well, boys,
I just forgot to say that I did play today. I did play indoor golf too this weekend because it was kind of crummy up here in New England.
I saw that.
How'd that go?
How was that?
Which was kind of cool. I mean, we played at Golf X at Lincoln Mall. And you know how like the simulators, usually you can just fast forward through the putting. You don't even have to putt, you know, just because sometimes it's not worth it. But this is realistic. This is the best putting, this virtual putting I've ever seen. I mean, it's hands down, it's very realistic. So we did that. And then I played at Bungie Brook today.
Nice.
A very comfort course, just wide open. Same ball. All the way through. It was good. I shot a 40 the hard way, no birdies.
Good for you, man. That's terrific.
Love to hear that.
I saw that on the grint. I saw that you started around. I was obviously jealous, but yeah, man, that's cool. What did, for the putting, did you putt into the net or how did that work? Did you putt?
It's like so you put it on this little spot, like right on the turf. And there's like this, this rubber mat right in front of this, your putting line. And you actually just adjust your putting line on the screen, like where you want to putt, like based on, it shows you like which elevations and the curvatures of the green, the undulations. So you put like a line where you want to aim. And then all you have to do really is line your putt up with this line on a rubber mat in front of you. And you basically just have to hit it straight. And as long as you hit it straight, then it's going to go in that line and it'll go based on, you know, the undulations of the green.
And the speed was pretty cool. Like
it's actually realistic. I wouldn't go unless it was raining. Like, obviously I want to be on the the course.
Yeah.
Or in the winter or something like that. But just cool. Cool.
Is that what your mom got me? Is that what your mom got me a gift card for? Is it new?
It's new. It's brand new.
What's it called?
Golf X.
I think she got me a gift card for Christmas or my birthday.
I've been very stashing. Nice, Mikey.
Save that for a rainy day or a snow day.
Let's get out there. We have to get out there, all three of us soon.
Yeah, we do.
And maybe one in studio little podcast episode. That could be cool.
Let's play around and then we'll record the podcast.
We're working on the in studio. We're working on it. We got the nice brick. We're working on the rest of it.
Should I go buy a drone for when we play some golf? Whoa! I don't have that cash. Who are you kidding?
No one's got that cash.
No, I'm just kidding. How much are those? A
couple $100.
Yeah.
No thanks. Well, boys, as always, unbelievable tonight. Appreciate you guys always hopping on, and I appreciate all of our listeners out there on either podcast platforms, the YouTube, the internets, all of you guys. We appreciate you listening.
Hundo P.
Oh man. You can follow us on all of our social medias at Duffin Up on Twitter and Instagram, at Duffin Up Golf on TikTok. Tim, where can they find you?
At Chooch Golf.
Perfect. Well, guys, as always, let's just get on out there and then let's let it fly, boys. Let it fly.
Hey, let's remind anyone listening that this is going to be some good golf on the television this week. And
oh, yeah.
Thursday, Friday. So tune in and do your best to absorb that game of golf. And I think this weekend looks pretty nice in these parts after that rainy MDW horror show. So get out there and let it fly, like Brendan says.
Boys, the girlfriend's going away for the weekend.
Bada bing, bada bing.
Oh, man. I'm going to play some golf.
36 and 36.
That sounds like a plan.
Oh, man. Congrats.
I'm going away this weekend. No, I can't play this weekend, but I might get out and play tomorrow night.
Very nice. That'd be great, man.
Brendan, swing a friggin' club, will you?
I know, right? I did want to say congrats to Pepperdine. They won the NCAA men's championship today over Oklahoma, so I was a little sad about that, but great win for Pepperdine. Anyways, Michael, I will swing a club this weekend, just so you know. But get on out there. Let's let it fly, boys.
Play better, baby.
Pull everything.
Let's do it.